And you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling Show here, FOW Live, on the Podbean Network. I am Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger. Danny, it's been another couple of wild weeks. How are you doing? I guess we haven't really talked much since my detour to the Nashville for the biggest party of the summer, hottest I can remember.
Dude, this summer so strange, weather-wise. It hasn't been like physically hot, but we've kind of had like a tiny bit of rain every single day, so that just makes it that much hotter and that much muggier and that much more unbearable. But overall, I'm doing good. You know, like you said, it's been a couple wild and wacky weeks in the wild and wacky world of professional wrestling. And as usual, we have quite a bit to talk about, thankfully.
Yeah. What are you listening to in the background?
I am watching this morning's G1 Climax Show. It is the main event now between Kenta and Tetsuya Naito.
Ah, okay. I haven't watched that one yet, but okay. Let's, speaking of the G1, let's go ahead and kick it off since Eric's not here. Where we left off, two weeks ago, as we were recording, you were still watching, night six, of the G1. I did want to go over just, one specific match on that one. Of course, we saw two members, of Bullet Club, Kenta and Evil, going one-on-one against each other. The shortest of the four tournament matches. But, you know, Evil there sneaking in the win by countout and putting Kenta at this point with 0 wins, 2 losses.
I've really enjoyed all of the inter-faction matches between members of Bullet Club this year, especially when it comes to House of Torture versus Bullet Club, because yes, they're friends, they're teammates, but House of Torture is essentially an entity to themselves, and they rely much heavier on the rule breaking and shenanigans and, you know, additional members interfering and these kind of things, and they haven't lessened on that just because they're wrestling somebody in Bullet Club. So it's almost like you have this, like, not quite to the point where they're feuding, but you have slight differing ideologies almost within the Bullet Club. You know, yes, the Bullet Club guys are typical rule breakers and this kind of thing, but the House of Torture takes it to a different level. And every single time they've been in there, it's, you know, they House of Torture pretty much sees you, if you're not one of the House of Torture members, like, you're kind of an enemy on the same lines. Like, they'll too sweet before and after the match. But during the match, they're going to try to, you know, beat you with chairs, choke you with the garrote, hit you in the face with a wrench. Like, they see you as an enemy of the highest caliber regardless, because, to get the win is the ultimate thing for them. And so that's kind of added a different spin to in the past where we've had Bullet Club matches, and they kind of end up just going, you know, even Steven kind of fair. Neither guy really tries to cheat too much. You know, it kind of adds a different dynamic, and I've really enjoyed that. There's been a lot of really good matches this G1. A lot of surprising performances by a lot of people as well. It's always a fun time of year, and it's a great time when a lot of people can find their careers elevated by performance that they have in the G1. Regardless of the score that they acquire, you know, they can still lose most of their matches, but through those singles performances, they can find their stock raised very highly in New Japan.
Yeah. And of course, former tag team partners collided in the main event on night six as David Finley defeated Juice Robinson.
That was a hell of a match, and right. I'm still very surprised that David Finley is doing as well as he is in this year's G1. You know, first he got the big win over Shingo, And then, you know, he's able to defeat Juice. You know, I mean, and that match went wild as well. David Finlay kind of exacting his revenge and his frustration at his former tag team partner in that match, even getting his the family shillelagh involved, and clocking Juice right in the head with that, making his father proud. But wild match, great emotional storytelling throughout. Both guys are really going on different levels this year. Juice especially. Juice looks like he's slimmed down some. Like, his physique is very different than it was, say, a couple years ago, where he had much broader shoulders. Now it's a much leaner physique. I think he's kind of tried to change his training in order to go for kind of a longevity of matches, not just strength and power. Mm-hmm. And David Finlay is just, yeah, David Finlay's coming out with this new aggression that we didn't think David Finlay had, you know, after all those, you know, the years as a young lion and the years teaming with Juice. He was always kind of the second fiddle in that tag team, but he's trying his damnedest to prove that he's nobody's second fiddle.
Yeah. So night seven, the next night, a few good matches, but why is it that for some reason Ishii just brings the best out of everybody?
I was thinking this about 6 months ago. Ishii's probably one of the best, like, mid-level guys that the industry's ever seen. Because, yeah, every single time he fights somebody, they pull out, like, game-changing performances. You know, they just step up their game, a feud with him, and they change their they end up changing the trajectory of their career. And it's, you know, it's not one of those. I mean, Ishii pretty much wrestles a similar style match every single time. But he does it in a way that every single time it's still amazing. Different opponents. He forces them to wrestle his style. They all want to beat Ishii in Ishii's type of match. And that's where, yeah, you see these guys dig deep and fight harder than they've ever really fought. I mean, that's pretty much where the turn in Tai Chi started, was his feud with Ishii over the Never Open Weight title. And, you know, Jay White's had his matches with Ishii. And, I mean, just it's the list goes on and on of all these people who just – he just brings some of their best matches out of them.
Yeah. I mean, no offense to Tama Tonga here, but definitely looking so much better here against Ishii. But yeah, they just, I mean, and to think, you know, that he's been in this game for a long time. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, he really has. He's been doing it for
so
long.
The way he wrestles.
And he's still so good. And every single match he fights it like it could be his very last. It's just, he's a joy. He's really a highlight to watch on just about every card he's in, no matter, like you said, no matter who he's wrestling, he's able to pull some amazing matches out of just about everybody.
Yeah. All right, night eight. We get not a very long match, probably, but definitely a very good main event between Tanahashi and Zack Sabre Jr., with Tanahashi here picking up the win.
Yeah, Zach was at this point looked to be, you know, trying to duplicate his new Japan Cup win, you know, and just storm the block. And he and Tanahashi have had their wars, and he's actually put Tanahashi on the shelf on more than one occasion. And he was looking to do the same, but the ace is always just one step smarter. You think you've got him down, and he somehow is able to pull wins out. That's what he did against Zach.
Yeah. Night nine, that happened on July 31st. A couple of matches here I kind of found interesting. Jeff Cobb defeating Lance Archer. And, of course, your main event, Naito versus Evil. I mean, those two just don't like each other.
Yeah. Dude, Jeff Cobb, just yet again, just doing outstanding work this year's G1. It's great to have Archer back as well, as he's, you know, he's putting out great matches with everybody. And yeah, Naito and Evil, that was, you know, Naito going into that match having lost two matches, his first two matches. So in a block where you only fight six times, it was kind of like a do or die situation. If he lost that third match, his chances of actually winning the block were going to be very, very, very slim. But he knows Evil, and they fought, you know, they fought together for so many years, and they fought against each other for the last 3 years. And it was, yet again, House of Torture brought all their wacky shenanigans and all that stuff, and Naito was able to overcome them all and put Evil down. Get a big first win this year, she won.
Yeah. See, night 10, or are we here? With night 10, we finally see Will Ospreay on the main event match here on the D block. But again, David Finley with another win.
Yeah, a big surprising win. I think everybody pretty much said that, okay, yeah, David Finley's won a couple matches, but this is where he stopped. You know, Ospreay is one of the top guys. He's a former world heavyweight champion. You know, main event at the Tokyo Dome. Like, David Finley's not beating this guy. And David Finley beat him. And I loved Will Ospreay's reaction, too, in the post-match comments. Mm-hmm. Ospreay was sitting there in the back like, did he really just beat me? Like, what was it that, what was the move that he used to beat me with? He was like, a trash panda? He was like, that's crazy. Like, last year, I kicked out of that. He's like, he hit me with that last year, and I kicked out. He's like, what's different with him this year? He's like, I don't understand it. He's like, I didn't even see it coming. He's like, I just thought it was just, he's like, it's James Finley. And he beat me. He's like, I can't make any excuses. But yet again, yeah, just fantastic stuff from both those guys.
Yeah. Let's see. Where are we? We're still going night 11 on August 5th. All right. So the main event was great with Tanahashi and Evil, but man, Jonah defeating Jeff Cobb.
That was a hell of a match.
In the big boy match.
Yeah, super heavyweight clash in the monster block, the A block. Jonah's a guy who actually makes Jeff Cobb look a little small. Just an outstanding match. And yeah, I mean, Jonah gets the big, big, big win. I honestly didn't think he would beat Cobb there. Cobb having gone won eight matches in a row in last year's G1. Definitely didn't think that Jonah was going to stop him in his tracks, but Jonah did.
Yeah, definitely. Night 12. We get another Ospreay loss against Shingo. Another great match. So.
Yeah, an amazing match in their rivalry, you know, that started when they were both still junior heavyweights, led to Shingo going heavyweight and then Ospreay eventually following. You know, and they battled over the world heavyweight title, and it was, yeah, and they fought, you know, in the Tokyo Dome as well, and it was, yeah, another outstanding match. But yeah, this time Shingo gets the big win.
All right, and this brings us to then night 13, which was two nights ago. We're not going to cover tonight yet because I haven't watched it. But two nights ago, I don't know. I mean, to me, the biggest surprise is a big shocker. I mean, Jonah defeats Okada in your main event.
I mean, if you were listening with the sound on, Patrick, I know you don't usually, but in Japan, the fans are still not supposed to be cheering and yelling and that kind of thing. The noise when Jonah started his finishing sequence, Okada went for the big shotgun drop kick from the top, Jonah catches, power bombs him, picks him up, big power bomb, goes up top, hits the, you know, the torpedo, the big splash from the top, and that three count happened. That crowd was going crazy. You know, commentators were putting it over huge, talking about like it was, you know, similar reactions to when, you know, when Vader beat Inoki. And it was, you know, it was just an outstanding match, you know, that really set to hopefully, you know, I guess their hope is to establish Jonah as a top level guy in New Japan. And I mean, beating the Rainmaker in such a dominant fashion, I think very well could do that. And, you know, it's not just, you know, a quick win, a shocker kind of gets one over on the Rainmaker. Like, he pretty much dominated most of that match. Jonah's dominated his, you know, he's won several matches in the G1. It's not like that was his only one and it was like a big fluke. Like, it's this at that, you know, right on, as of Sunday, Jonah was leading the block with that tiebreaker over Okada. You know, looking to make his way and win the block and try to win the G1.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, we definitely have a lot of, you know, just a lot, still a few matches left. I think tonight, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And the last night of block competition is the 16th, I think.
Yeah. So, man, I mean, we're still out there. Of course, Lance, Archer, Jonah, and Okada with 6 points, block A. Block B leading the block, of course, Jay White, who will be at the next couple of shows. Tanahashi,
The weird thing about doing the points right now is that not everybody's had the same number of matches is the problem. Yeah. So yeah, that's one of the things. That's one of my only gripe with this year's G1 is that the four block format and the way they're having to do it is, you know, is that people are having matches at different intervals. So it's almost kind of it makes it a little bit more difficult to determine who's leading the block because you say, oh, these guys have the same number of points, and you go, oh yeah, but this guy's had one more match than the others, so technically that's not as good a score. Mm-hmm. Or you know, oh, this guy has, you know, 4 points, but well, he's only had 3 matches so far. Yeah, we have, you know, a little over a week left, and he still has 2 or 3 matches to do. You know, yeah. So it kind of makes it a little bit more complicated, and I guess, you know, come that last night of block action could potentially make it more complicated with fewer block matches. You know, there's absolutely the possibility that they may have to do, you know, 2 or 3-way tiebreakers for just to determine the block winner, you know, have an additional match or something just to determine who wins the block. Because, you know, with only 6 matches, I mean, there's less variation in possible scores.
Yeah, definitely interesting. And, of course, you hear Takahashi, David Finn leading block D. Still a lot of matches left and could be anybody's game. So, Eric, thanks for joining us. What do you think so far of the G1 climax?
I don't know.
One day you're going to go along with this. One day. Yeah, Eric, how are you doing?
I'm okay, I guess.
Eric's got a boo-boo.
Eric, what happened to you? How did you get hurt?
I broke my ankle.
You broke your ankle?
Yeah.
How? Why?
I was helping my uncle move things, and I broke my ankle. It's a long story.
Wow. It basically comes down to him lifting heavy shit when he shouldn't be lifting heavy shit, probably.
More like the heavy shit took my ankle out, and it really hurt.
Yeah.
Well, that's the type of thing that sounds like they would hurt.
It ain't ballet, kid.
Nope. Apparently not.
Yeah, this one, I help move people. Basically, I'm just there directing because I ain't lifting. Yeah. Well, Eric, I'm sorry you're doing not so well, but here's to hoping that he gets better. Broken ankle. My God, that's gonna suck. Okay, guys, so I went to Nashville. SummerSlam.
Yes.
Biggest party of the summer.
Was it, in fact, the biggest party of the summer?
Did you have
a bigger party this summer? Did you know of a bigger party of this summer, even though you didn't attend?
No. Not myself. Okay. But I attended SmackDown the previous night. The previous night. Was not able to acknowledge the tribal chief. He was not there, unfortunately. But SmackDown was fun. We got a match in a dark match with AJ Styles at the end of the night, where he won. So, hometown guy winning. You should don't see that. So, yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
But
AJ wasn't the hometown guy in Nashville, though.
No, not in Nashville, but he was in Atlanta at SmackDown. Nashville, Atlanta, right? Yeah. So I went to Nashville, and I got to help out with the New Japan merch table, which actually meant I got to watch the New Japan show they had in Nashville.
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were having a show in Nashville. I thought it was either the night before, so I didn't realize it was going to be the same day. So was cool. Moxley versus El Desperado was the main event. FTR was in action. Alex Shelley versus Kushida. It was a really fun show. I don't know why they tried to talk you into coming, Danny. You probably really enjoyed it.
I just couldn't swing that weekend.
Yeah. So that was cool. So SummerSlam happened. That was great. It was really fun. I mean, we'll get into specifics right now, but in just a few moments, but I would just say overall the show and the crowd, it was great. It was awesome. Enjoyed it. And what I found amusing about Nashville is apparently Nashville is the go place for bachelorette parties.
Okay,
they have these buses that are basically two-story buses, and mm-hmm. they like to rent these buses, like party buses, where like you see nothing but a bunch of white chicks on top of the bus riding around while drinking. It is some of the most amusing people watch I've ever encountered.
I mean, drunk white women can be quite humorous as long as they're at safe distance to where they don't try to involve you in their
shenanigans. They were definitely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Very, very, very much well distanced. But amusing nonetheless. And seeing all these girls with cowboy boots that they probably only wore once.
Yeah, they bought for that night. Yeah.
I was very tickled, very amused by that. So that was my experience of Nashville for the most part. But inside the Nissan Stadium or whatever they call it, we got lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So we kicked it off with Bianca Belair defending her championship match against Becky Lynch. This is a very good match. I'm not a big fan of Bianca Belair, but
that's disappointing.
Yeah, that is disappointing.
I don't know. I just don't know what it is. I can't pointed. Yeah. She just doesn't, you know, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, I'm not there. But what else? Everybody else likes her. That works. But you know what? I mean, she definitely brought it here against Becky Lynch. And yeah, I thought the match was really fun. It's like about 15 minutes or so. And yeah, I mean, pretty much, I mean, I thought there might have been a chance Becky would have won the title back, but, you know, I think after the 10-minute mark, I was like, yeah, no, this looks like the belt staying in Bianca's waist. But yeah, I know. I thought it was a great way to start the show, to be honest. These women brought it.
I mean, it's a, you know, a long standing feud between these two. You know, it was SummerSlam, you know, the previous year when Becky returned and took Bianca down, and then they had their big match at WrestleMania, and you know, so it's a great series of matches between these two, and you know, I love they both bring out new and exciting stuff from their offense when they're against each other. You know, it's like at this point, and you know, coming to this last match, they knew each other so well that they knew that they had to dig deep into their playbooks in order to try and beat one another. And you know, you see at the end that mutual respect was seemingly attained, and then some wild shit happened.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the match of the night, and I was almost right. It definitely delivered, as all of their matches have. You know, like Danny said, it was a long-standing feud, a year in the making. This was the blow-off of it. You know, usually WWE doesn't do the long-term booking, but it's for the better part of the year, the Raw Women's Championship has revolved. Well, both women's championships kind of have revolved around Becky and Bianca. And I thought it was a good ending to the feud for now. Obviously, I'm sure that they'll cross paths again down the line. But I really enjoyed it. And then, I mean, you can see like early into the match where Bex blows her shoulder out and like legitimately kept going, and props to Becky for doing that. I would have laid down on the mat and just said, I'm done. I'm going home. See y'all later. But Becky, being the consummate professional that she is, finished the match and did about another 20 minutes. So proud of her. And then, yeah, shenanigans. All the shenanigans. All the shenanigans.
To be honest, this match could have main evented the show.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And that ending would have been also a great way to close it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if they're AEW, but not WWE. WWE doesn't do debuts as the ending of their show. Okay?
You mean if it's AEW Dark, because that's where most of their women are.
No, they'll debut at the pay-per-view, the big show, and then they'll within a couple weeks they'll be on Dark. That's the formula.
That's right. That's right. I forgot. All right. So we get a surprise appearance. We get the music, and then oh my gosh. This crowd went bananas.
Good.
First Bailey. And I hope I get the order right, but I think the Dakota was second.
Yep.
And then EO. And man, they came out. And Nashville like literally went hot chicken on fire. I mean, it was just like,
it takes a lot for me to react at home, like legitimately.
No, we got to stop this. They went hot chicken on fire.
Well, he said Nashville hot chicken.
Nashville hot chicken, yeah.
Nashville went hot chicken on fire. I don't think I'm familiar with that expression, sir.
I was going to let it go, but
Eric understood what I was trying to say.
I wasn't going to comment, but
Well, you should have. Oh my goodness. They went Nashville hot chicken, sir, or something, hot chicken fire. I don't know. I've never heard that expression before. I knew you were attempting to say they went, you know, they went crazy.
They went was hot.
They went cuckoo Nashville bananas.
Hot chicken. Is that better? Is that more proper?
They went fucking batshit crazy, is what you meant to say.
Sure. I'm not on enough drugs for this.
They lost their shit. They gave you drugs? Uh-oh.
For a broken ankle?
Painkillers.
You better, yeah.
I actually threw it in the trash, though, so I'm not actually on drugs.
Bro, man, you can say that. You know how many names, whatever. Not on this show. Wrong show.
It takes a lot for me to react at home. And, like, the finish of the match, and then I heard Bailey's music, and I popped so hard. And then Dakota's music hit, and I went I literally went cuckoo bananas. And then EO's music hit, and I lost whatever was left of my mind. Was not expecting any of that. Right off the bat, they had said leading up into SummerSlam that it was going to be a statement show, and that Triple H was going to put his stamp on it. Jesus Christ. We went 30 minutes and we already saw Triple H's stamp on this show.
Yeah. And bringing in, you know, I mean,
bringing in his NXT darlings.
Dakota was fired. She had lost her job and she comes right back, you know, surprise debut. I mean, nobody seemed to be aware, you know, the dirt sheets were quiet about all of this. And,
it didn't even look like Bianca knew.
Dakota just pops right in there from, you know, just slides and pops right in there like she hadn't been fired 6 months ago. Right into a big spot.
Like the look of genuine shock on Bianca's face makes me wonder if she even knew.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. Right, and so the face off, and man, when Becky came in, okay, that's 2 and 3. I was preparing my heart for somebody else to come out.
Were you thinking it was boss time? Because I was thinking it was boss
time. I mean, that would have made the only sense. I mean, could you imagine if Sasha Banks' music hits?
Nissan Stadium wouldn't be there anymore.
I mean, that place would have shooketh. Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
You would have collectively heard about 100,000 people shitting their pants.
It would have been crazy. absolutely. But it didn't, but it's okay.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet. More than a little bit. Actually, no, let's just go ahead and take a tidbit and talk about it now. As Triple H is putting his stamp on things, and as Triple H is making his own changes, as he's not the head of creative and head of talent relations and answers to no one by his wife at this point. Man, I mean, anything could happen. I mean, let's be honest, right? He's the one that broke the truce. Yeah, I mean, he's the one that broke the truce between Bruno Sammartino and Vince McMahon, right? So we thought that would never happen. Here we are, only a few weeks, well, I don't know, it's been like 2-3 weeks since being in charge. I mean, I don't know, anything can happen.
But anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
We say it every single time, yeah. So I don't doubt it. If he could make it happen, I think he will.
I think it's already happened. We're just waiting. Yeah. Because from my understanding, pins hit paper. They're back.
Do you think, well, you know, they walked out. I don't think they were ever fired. So, I mean, it's just a matter of coming back, making up, right? Because they were never actually released.
No.
Were they?
But, so. No. But from my understanding, they've already been back.
They've done the whole thing. They've talked. They've reconciled. We're just ready to go. And I'm assuming that whoever wins the tag team championship tournament is going to be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah. See, now I'm with you on that one. I'm thinking, yeah, if this is true and they're coming back, I think, yeah, once the tournament winners are there, they'll probably do like John Cena beat Rey Mysterio for the championship, and then CM Punk came back. He's like, no. I have the real title.
It's my belt, bitch.
So, yeah. I could very much see that happen. And I'm all for it, too. I mean, yeah.
Because, we all know that Sasha is 100% Hunter's girl. 100%.
What are your thoughts on that, Danny, on them coming back sooner than later?
I certainly think so. I mean, I thought that they might have had them as a surprise entrant or something in the tournament, you know? But having you know, somebody come and say, we're the champions, we just won this tournament, and then having as I like to call them, you know, because they're going to form a stable with Bianca, and it's called Black Girl Magic. And that's that I pretty much see, yeah, them coming out and saying, oh, you know, you think you're the champion. Well, technically, nobody defeated us for these belts. We gave them back. So, you know, that pretty much makes us the number one contenders, you know, and or the rightful champions. So then it goes right into a program.
So when Dakota and Io win the tournament, they've already got their first built-in opponent.
Opponents, yeah.
And who's control versus Black Girl Magic? And who
knows Sasha Banks better than Bayley?
Nobody. She's her best friend and her worst enemy.
That's it. So she can lead Io and Dakota into the mind of the boss to help defeat her. Yeah.
It's all about control.
It's all about the game and how you play it. That's apparently so bad.
Apparently all of the NXT kids have done well playing the game, because television's kind of revolved around them over the last week.
Pretty much. All right. In his second match ever, Logan Paul, now a contracted superstar, okay. another edition of Triple H, total joke, defeats The Miz. Ciampa, of course, the referee attempts to kick out Tommaso Ciampa. That doesn't work. AJ Styles comes in and runs him off. Logan Paul defeats The Miz. Your thoughts, guy, on Logan Paul? I mean, I know he's trying to be babyface, but people hate him because people hate the Pauls. But come on, you gotta admit, the kid is trying, and he's looking really good.
Yeah, I definitely think that he had been training, you know, long before his WWE signing. There's no way that he signed with WWE like a month ago, and he comes out, you know, looking that good. That's, you know, definitely somebody who's been training for quite some time, and it very well possibly could have been conditional, you know, of his employment. You know, yeah, we'd like to sign you. Go ahead and start hitting up training school. You know, let us come, you know, let us see videos of what you're doing and how you're improving. And if you get to, you know, a certain level of capability, you know, by whatever cutoff date, we'll bring you in. You know, because, I mean, boy went ham. He did some wild shit that most people don't normally see on WWE television, let alone from a quote-unquote celebrity having their first televised match. You know? So, yeah, people were surprised and turning heads, but fuck that cracker.
He's pretty good. But he's still a piece of shit.
Well, love him or hate him.
You know. Hate him.
Hate him, but he was fantastic in the ring, so.
The guy looked really fucking good. He was doing some wild shit. Definitely looked comfortable there.
Yep. Yeah.
Next up, this is actually the next two matches were my bathroom break because the third match was really short. Did not expect it to go that short. But Bobby Lashley defeats Theory to retain the United States Championship. I didn't watch it, so.
I didn't watch it either because fuck Austin Theory.
Yeah, I'm still not really a huge Lashley fan, and Theory.
All right, the Mysterious defeat the Judgment Day, and of course, Edge makes his return.
With a new theme that we only heard once. And then he went back to Metalingus.
I mean, is Dominic going to finally join the Judgment Day? I mean, at some point, either he is or he isn't. Just
You saw Raw. It's coming.
It did.
They're just drawing it out way longer than they should. But I think it becomes the rightful story. You know, he turns and joins Judgment Day. You know, it turns out that he's really like a masochist, and he just really likes getting the shit kicked out of him by Rhea Ripley.
Let's be real here.
That's gonna lead him to joining the group because he just wants to be close to her. That she can continue to beat the shit out of him.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. When Rhea Ripley was choking Dominic with her thighs, I was insanely jealous.
A lot of the internet was also.
That man is living the internet's dream right now. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be choked out by Rhea Ripley. So I would join Judgment Day to get my ass choked out by her too. Let's be for real.
All right.
Somehow, Paul's already better than Dominic Mysterio.
Well, you know, because he does a better frog splash.
I just think Dominic's trash. And
he was mentored by his stepfather, and adopted stepfather's not that great though.
That's because his real daddy died.
Brady, get out of my face. Damn it, dog.
He just likes you. Too much. Alright. Pat McAfee defeats Happy Corbin. Speaking about celebrities.
Yeah, that fucking goes wild,
Also, you know, a new theme music for him. I mean, he is a superstar, so he has to have his own music. Non-copyrighted, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I liked the bum ass Baron choir.
Oh yeah, that choir was lit.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Always going for bum ass Baron choir.
Tag team match time, undisputed tag team titles. The Usos defeat the Street Profits by pinfall here to retain the titles. Jeff Jarrett, who's like, I'm not working too long. I carry an old man tomorrow.
Another banger of a match between those two. Love the Usos, love the Street Profits. They both killed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great tag match. The women's WWE SmackDown Championship on the line. As it sounds like somebody's putting ice in an ice bucket.
I'm getting ice in a cup, yes.
Close enough. Liv Morgan taps out to Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey should have been the champion, the new champion. But of course, you know, inept officiating made the wrong call here.
That whole match and was the wrong call.
Yeah, I will not disagree with you on that. And yeah, Liv Morgan still your SmackDown Women's Champion.
I mean, glad for Liv to be champ, but that match kind of sucked.
It just didn't seem like they gelled well together. And I actually like Ronda in her matches. To me, she's the right level of rough around the edges. You know, she's the right level of kind of sloppy because she was not trained in professional wrestling. She's trained in a mixed martial arts style, which is very quick and very sloppy, and it's all about the results. It's not about finesse, where pro wrestling is much more about finesse. But the problem is that Liv herself can be a little bit sloppy at times. She's still learning wrestling as well. So Ronda's best matches are against somebody who's much more strict and regimented and, you know, a little more finesse pro wrestling based. You know, she had, you know, the good stuff with Natty and various people over the years that are much better at straightforward wrestling, and where she can be kind of the one that brings a little bit of that sloppiness while the other person is still able to hold things together so it doesn't get too crazy and it doesn't start looking like a mess. The problem is Liv's not that experienced on that experience level yet. So with Ronda going a little sloppy, it kind of threw Liv a little sloppy, and it was it just didn't seem to mesh. And then the finish was kind of odd. You know, it's a weird way to try and make an underdog champion look strong by having them, you know, by having them submit, but still somehow win the match via pinfall. Like, it's, you know, that to me is more the way that you would get somebody who you like a bad guy, because then the bad guy can sit here and whine and complain and be like, but I made them tap out. And they'll be like, well, the ref only counted to three, you know, like, or it gives the bad guy justification for a rematch or something. But it didn't seem like the right match, the right ending. And then Ronda going crazy at the end and getting herself, you know, suspended also kind of seemed a little odd after their match. But I don't know. It just felt really, really strange in a lot of different ways.
It's okay. Ronda's best friend's going to get revenge.
There you go.
That would be great.
And Shayna finally wins a title.
There you go.
Also, and if they do turn Ronda heel, man, can I get Ronda and Shayna together? Just give it to me for like a quick run. That's all. That's all I ask. I don't ask for a lot. So
I kind of want to see Ronda versus Bianca, because that hasn't happened yet. I'm very intrigued in that.
Yeah. All right. Your main event of the evening, where Roman Reigns defeats Brock Lesnar in the last man standing match for the Undisputed WWE Universal title. My gosh. Brock Lesnar coming in with this forklift thing, or whatever it's called.
It was a tractor.
Yeah, sure, whatever. It was fun. It was fun to watch live. And it was very fun. Yeah, very, very nice. From my view, it was cool. Yeah, and the whole thing, him being on top of that thing, and yeah, everything just the way it was done, great. The match was really fun. It did not feel that long, to be honest. Being that this was the longest match, it definitely did not feel that long. Enjoyed every moment of it. And, man, it took a lot to beat Brock Lesnar. But, yeah. Fun match. Great way to end the show.
This was my match of the night.
I definitely agree that,
destroying rings. He broke one with the Big Show, and now he broke one with Roman Reigns.
I mean, we're lifting rings up with a fucking
tractor.
With a tractor, we're getting the Usos involved. We're F5ing Heyman through an announce table. Theory got mollywopped with a fucking briefcase. Like, I mean, this was pure entertainment. And I loved every single fucking second of it. It took an entire village to beat Brock Lesnar for a 10 count, as it should have, because Brock's a monster. But your tribal chief is still reigning over 700 days as your WWE Undisputed Universal Champion of the world universe thing.
He's just holding the keeping it warm for Cody.
He needs some adrenaline in his soul. But very, very fun, entertaining match. Very fun, entertaining little feud that they've been having. But for the love of Christ, can we be done with Brock and Roman for a while? Please.
Yeah.
And by for a while, I mean ever again. Please.
Yeah, put that on the back burner for quite some time.
It's been going 7 years.
Well, you know, I mean,
it gives there's long term storytelling, and then there's holy shit, please stop.
Well, they're not facing each other at Clash of the Castle, or Clash at the Castle. So that's a change. But yeah, so what?
Who he's facing?
What grade are we giving SummerSlam?
I actually give it an A. I enjoyed everything top to bottom, except the Liv Ronda match. No offense to either competitor, I was just not there for that match. But yeah. Beginning to end, it was a great show. There was very little filler, and it was a really, really good show, a really good way to kick off the Hunter era.
Yeah, and it felt easy to watch on TV, I'm sure, as it did in person, because in person is also...
Oh yeah, once it was main event time, I looked at my phone and I was like, really? We're already that far into this?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going A2. Yeah, that's a pretty solid score.
Yeah, I could maybe do maybe a B or something. You know, B plus. It definitely had its good stuff, and some stuff that was kind of eh, you know.
All right. So we now moving on to September 3rd, Labor Day weekend here, but this is going to be happening in Cardiff, Wales, Clash at Castle. Roman Reigns will be defending his championship against Drew McIntyre.
Are you positive about that?
I mean, as of right now, yes.
TikTok?
Can things change? Sure. But as of right now, as of this moment, yes, that's what's happening.
TikTok.
Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And, of course...
Crank it, tear.
So are they really actually wrestling at a or inside a castle?
No, it's a stadium.
Is the stadium called the castle? Is it affectionately known as the castle?
I actually think maybe.
The Millennium Stadium? I mean,
or are they just calling it Class at the Castle because it's Cardiff.
In England and
it's mostly it's in that
the UK and they think of, you know, castles and that kind of stuff in Europe. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen this thing. I sent you guys a picture of the stadium. A castle, it is not.
Well, that's disappointing.
I mean, there may be a castle stage built.
That's disappointing. I want them to clash in a castle.
It needs to be inside a castle. Yeah, it's called Clash at the Castle. It needs to be inside or castle adjacent.
Yeah.
To be considered, if it's not castle
adjacent, then it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's at that point, really it can be clash near a castle in the same, you know,
clash
territory.
In a place that has a castle within 100 kilometers, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't see anything around the kilometers that looks like a castle. I mean, there's a lot of buildings, but I don't see a castle. That's maybe it's a mini castle inside of the Millennium Stadium.
Maybe the castle is the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, maybe. So, yep, not a castle. But also, as I was going to say, we got 6 women tag, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka versus Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky.
Let's go control.
More to be added, I'm sure. Can't wait to see what's next. So now, post SummerSlam, we have seen the return of Karrion Kross and Scarlett.
TikTok.
So, of course, Kross beating up Drew McIntyre and setting up the time. The time has come. The end is near for the reign of Roman. Or for Roman's reign, whatever. And this past Monday, the main event, a certain gentleman was forcibly removed from the building. And if anybody paid attention to who that was, it was none other than Dexter Lumis.
Sexy Dexy's back.
Former WWE guys coming right in and trying to take up top spots, man. I can't handle that bullshit.
I really hope Indy knows that Sexy Dexy's back.
They're married. I'm pretty sure she knows where the fuck he is.
I hope so.
Yeah.
She needs to. Mm-hmm. That means she needs to bring her ass up to the main roster too for when Papa John and Mama Candace show up.
So you think they're coming back?
Oh, of course. 100%. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Danny sounds like he has that.
No, I was gonna. I was more weirded out by him calling him Papa John.
Well, I mean, you know, could be called worse, right?
That's what Indy called him, was Papa John.
It sounds creepy when you say it, though.
It's okay.
It kind of does. Yeah. So who do we see next? Now,
Johnny.
Well, obviously, but like, do you feel like he'll be the next person that appears?
I mean, the rumors were thinking that he was going to be there in Cincinnati. and he wasn't.
Especially when were they in Cincinnati?
You know,
2 weeks ago?
On Monday. On Monday, you dingus.
That was Cleveland, you dingus. Cleveland,
Ohio, whatever. Cincinnati, Cleveland, it's fucking Ohio. Nobody gives a shit about Ohio, but Johnny apparently there. So you know, his frenemy, old Tommy Champion was fighting for a championship belt, so it seemed like it's the proper place for him to make his return, you know, possibly assisting in that victory that did not happen.
But I mean,
I'm very upset about. I'm more upset about Tommy Champion not winning than I am about Johnny not returning it.
But we got the gold grade A commentary from what's that guy's name? Corey Graves, when Ciampa hit the Gargano escape, and he says, "If you want to get it done, you just got to do it yourself. There's no escape from this one." And, you know, shenanigans, because wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You got to know your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. They kept making subtle references to Johnny. I really expected Johnny to show up, but he didn't, and it broke my heart. But it's okay. I know he'll be around sooner rather than later, and it'll all be okay. Is he the next one? Who knows? But I think he's enjoying dad life right now. That's all that matters.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. But who could be next? Who, if you guys had, could choose anybody that's available, of course, because as Tony has reminded us, he's got people on the five-year contracts, guys. They can't leave. They can't just get up and leave.
I could see it being Johnny. I could see it being Bray. I could see it potentially being Braun Strowman.
Ooh. You're going to get your narrative controlled.
Yeah, I mean, that thing was doomed from the beginning.
Even further. I mean, Cross is back. He was part of that shit.
Yeah. But I feel like I don't necessarily know that Braun was like a Triple H kind of guy, but I don't know. Maybe not. I don't really too much care for Braun, so I'm indifferent one way or the other. But they've mentioned Braun, they've mentioned Johnny, they've mentioned Bray, they've mentioned Big Cass. So I mean, there's a lot of, it's literally must tune in television at this point, because you don't know what the hell's gonna happen. I mean, like, the backstage stuff last night on Raw with the car. Like, I was like, what the hell is this leading to? Right. And it led to fucking homeboy, what's his name? Dexter. Sexy Dexy showing back up. So I mean, who the hell knows? Now you gotta start watching things in the background.
Yeah. Good news, guys. I did more investigating, because I cannot let stand by for you guys to be disappointed. But there is a castle in Cardiff, and it's less than half a mile away from the stadium.
That's still not close enough for me to be considered castle. Okay, it's like me saying I'm at the Walmart. When I'm sitting in my house, okay? No, I'm not at the Walmart. I'm at my fucking house, okay? If I want to go to the Walmart, I go to the fucking Walmart. I'm not going to say, hey, yo, we're having a party at the Walmart, because you know where everybody's going to go? They're going to go to the Walmart. They're not going to come to my house. okay? If somebody tells me they're having something at the castle, I'm not showing up to the stadium. I'm showing up to the fucking castle. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
This
I don't like
Muffin
it.
Gate all over again.
They can call it whatever the fuck they want, but I don't like it. And I don't have to like it.
Daddy, don't get so heated. You gotta make people think that we're talking Big Brother again.
Don't even start.
This is Muffin Gate all over again.
We spell it weird, Eric. My gosh, this season has been fantastic.
I've hated this season. It's so trash. Cool. I hate all of these people.
Why?
Because they're all trash.
Because the good guy's actually winning.
We've been spoiled for the last 4 years with good stuff, and now it's just trash.
I don't know. I like it. But yes, the castle is near. And so with the Clash.
I petition to change the name Clash Near the Castle, not Clash at the Castle.
Or Clash by the Castle?
They're not even by it. They're just near it.
Clash a half mile to the castle. Clash in the same city as a castle.
Clash at the stadium by the castle. Near the castle. So that. All right. Many more matches to go. AEW is introducing trio championships.
Good. Yes. More belts.
More fucking championships in All Elite Wrestling.
Just it's only like their 42nd title belt.
Hoped for. And in 6 months, they'll redesign that fucking bitch. Okay? It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome, and we love it. Yes.
You know, the funny thing is they probably created, originally thought, oh, maybe the Undisputed could be the ones that... That they get the belts, but two of them are injured. They can't participate. You know, the Undisputed Elite is no more. So that's not happening. Do we really want to see Adam Page with the Bucks again? I don't know.
Apparently the fans popped for it.
They did, but still.
Those idiots will cheer for anything. Okay.
I mean...
Let's see what else is going on in the world of AEW. Taz's son is the FTW champion,
which makes no sense, but whatever.
And now Taz is officially disbanded, apparently.
Yeah,
and Ricky Starks and Hook are fighting when they're both heels. So who are we supposed to cheer? And I mean, I don't
Ricky
know.
Starks because he looks cooler and funny.
Yeah. I think Starks is starting to get some cheers. So didn't that guy who got fired from WWE but just get a title shot for the FTW title?
Define that guy.
Which guy who was just fired by WWE?
I think he was part of they were in D'Angelo's group.
Oh, Two Dimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got an FTW title shot.
Here's what I'm getting. The dude failed a drug test.
AEW doesn't care.
Yeah. You remember when AEW brought in Jeff Hardy?
Yeah.
Right after he was apparently...
But you know, he didn't take drugs, but now he's in rehab. But whatever.
Yeah. He wasn't on drugs at the time of said incident, apparently.
But now he's in rehab, so whatever.
Yeah.
We talked about Cesaro being champion already. Yeah, so that's that. Poor apparently, Kenny Omega is getting ready to come back soon.
Boy, howdy. That's what we need.
But who's that coming soon? Your current AEW world champion. CM Punk's still not. He's still not cleared. What else is going on in the world of AEW?
Brady, why are you bleeding?
He's feeling your pain. That's what it is.
He's got like dried blood all over his tummy.
I don't know. could have scratched his stomach playing around on something.
Yeah, he likes to play in the bushes out back, and they've got thorns.
Yeah,
and stuff.
They probably scraped them up. Yeah, or I would say get a wet paper towel and help clean that guy's tummy up.
Yeah, I'm laying in bed. My ankle's broke. It can wait.
Yeah. What else is happening? There was something in there that I wanted to bring up, but I can't remember. So, okay. So they keep finding more money, more hush money coming out, I guess, apparently.
Yeah.
The tally is
upwards of $5 billion.
Yeah.
So the tally is now, what, $19.6 million?
I saw somebody. I heard someone joking that that Vince McMahon has spent more money in NDAs than The Rock spent on buying the XFL. That would make me giggle.
I mean, Vince already spent way more money telling people to shut the fuck up than he did when he bought WCW.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like four times as much.
Yeah.
So Ric Flair's last match. Yeah.
It was far worse than most of us could have predicted.
I could have never seen that in my life. Would have been happier for it.
I like when I saw somebody say that he did more to hurt his legacy wrestling that match than Dark Side of the Ring ever did. Because most of his diehard fans don't give a shit about, you know, his sexual perversions and indiscretions. And these kind of things. To them, it adds to the legacy and the lore that is the Nature Boy Ric Flair. But, you know, looking and completely gassing out very early on and looking like a dead baby covered in blood, you know, like coming right out was just terrible.
He was gassed making his entrance.
Yeah. I guarantee, knowing him and how well he, how much he cries and all that, he was probably crying all fucking day and he was just kind of emotionally exhausted, going into the match because he had been there hugging and crying with people all fucking day. And then he goes out to wrestle.
What you want to call it?
That's what he tried to do. I mean, that's certainly not what it really was, but that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, it definitely shouldn't have happened. I mean, I don't know if he's going to tarnish
a money grab and an ego thing. You know, everybody, one more time, come here and suck my dick a bunch and tell me how great I am and how awesome I am, and you know, how you owe your life to me and, you know, and all these things. I mean, that's ultimately what it was. I mean, he doesn't need the fucking money. So it was an ego thing. He didn't, well, maybe he does, but he didn't, you know, and it was, I also thought about it being, they ran it in Tennessee instead of running it in quote unquote Flair country in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he could say goodbye to the fans who had been there and supported him for decades. You know, I mean, some of them are still alive, not many, but some of them are still alive that were there, you know, going to the big Coliseum events in the 70s and shit when he was, you know, when he was first becoming a main event player in professional wrestling. You know, but instead they go to Tennessee, they go somewhere the NWA is run. That's usually a decent crowd where they're wrestling based and they're not too smarky. So they're not going to, you know, be there to hold a bunch of signs and give Flair a bunch of shit. You know, so that's pretty much why they ran it there. But yeah, it was basically just a moment, you know, for everybody to just come together and just all drop down to their knees and just take a turn slobbing on the knob one last time. Fucking Ric Flair. Okay.
Not slob it on the knob.
Slobbing on the knob. Everybody's sitting here saying how fucking awesome he is. No. I wouldn't be a wrestler if I hadn't seen your match when I was a kid. My grandpappy used to love watching me wrestle, and I told him when I was 6 years old watching wrestling on the carpet in the family room that I was going to be a wrestler someday, and here I am all because of you. You know, like, while they got his fucking dick in their mouth at the same time. So, like, that's all it was, okay? That was the whole reason for the fucking show. And the undercard... a lot of good stuff, a lot of really interesting stuff. You had a lot of different promotions represented, a lot of different people represented. You know, and realistically, had it not been for the main event, I would say that it probably would have been a really strong independent wrestling card.
Mm-hmm.
But that main, it was so bad. Oh, so bad. And everybody involved was just trying their damnedest and couldn't even
get his shoulders up for the win. Technically, he pinned himself.
He was so fucking gassed when he tried to lazily slap on the figure four that he basically just collapsed. And essentially, yeah, it was a double pin. Both he and Jarrett had their fucking shoulders on the mat when he had the figure four in. But the referee pretended that he couldn't see Ric Flair passed out and laying on his back. Like, and then they're all like trying to help him celebrate, and he's just laying there with blood on his face, just like gasping like he's literally taking his last fucking breath.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only disappointing thing, is that we didn't actually witness his demise on pay-per-view.
Shit.
So it was. I will truly say one of the worst nights in the history of our sport.
But, I mean,
and that includes the Black Crash show where they murdered like four people.
I mean, listen, even Doris Funk Jr.'s match in Japan in his 90s, I mean his 40s, was more interesting to watch. But yeah.
This was the greatest night in the history of our sport.
And this is why I listen to these things in mute. Because I don't have to hear that. But the one-off is gone. And yeah, now hopefully Rick can feel at peace.
Nope,
because then he went to fucking Puerto Rico and let Carlos Colon bust him in the head and make him bloody in the crowd the other day. So it might have very well been his quote-unquote last match, but as the asshole showed us, he's definitely not done in the world of professional wrestling.
Well,
Danger, tell us why Ric Flair is your favorite wrestler in 10 sentences or less.
I think I just did in the last 10 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Shit.
So, now... I mean, I don't know how much Charlotte has before she goes back, hopefully soon-ish.
Why? Why hopefully?
Oh. Look, she was entertaining. You know, she was starting to, like, grow on me. So. But, yeah. That was the last match. What else is going on?
Rick should have hit a figure eight, and he wouldn't have had to worry about a pinfall.
There you go. And that was just his last match this time. That was his last match, because he also retired in 94, and then, like, in 2007. 98, and then, like, 2007. And I think it was, like, 2012 or 2013. He also retired again.
And then he went to TNA and retired.
Yeah. So... And then he had his last match, and then went to Puerto Rico and let Carlos Colon stab him in the face. He really is just gonna keep fucking around until he's dead.
Yeah.
At least Hulk Hogan knew better. He just was like, fuck it, I can't wrestle anymore, and stayed away. Like,
yeah.
And he's still a piece of shit too, though.
Not really stayed away, but yeah. You got to let me wear my bandana in court, Brooke. You got to let me wear my bandana in court.
That will be one of my favorite moments in my life in professional wrestling, is booing the fucking shit out of him at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Of course, in attendance for this last match, DDP, Undertaker, Mick Foley, and Bret Hart as your notables.
You know what was funny about that?
They all looked at him with shame and disappointment.
That was funny, but also what was funny.
Bret Hart looking at him like, you stupid fucking asshole. At least I'm not this big of a dipwad.
My favorite thing is that right behind Michelle McCool was Diamond Dallas Page. It's been 20 years and he's still stalking women.
He's still stalking the Undertaker's wives.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Sarah.
Yeah. Let's make sure I talk here. That's not lost train of thought. That was it, actually. That was it for tonight.
What about tomorrow night?
Well, we're not here tomorrow night. But please go back and follow us and check on the backlog. We have lots of fun, episodes. Even a one-on-one, very quick interview I had with Drew McIntyre back in Canton, Georgia. He came to wrestle against the late Jimmy Rafe. Was fun.
Did you ask him what was that metronome you heard?
No, I did not.
You never hear the shot that takes you down.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so check the backlog, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Amazon Music, Spotify, wherever you hear podcasts. Give us a subscription, give us a like, give us a good review. We'll take all of it. Danny is on Twitter at Danny F. and Danger. Eric's on Twitter at E423X. No, EJ or E? EJ?
EJ.
Okay, I forget. Mika is somewhere in the world, but she's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at Yellowman PA. We are at FOW Radio on the Twitter machine. Give us a follow. We're on the road to WrestleMania. Well, we're on the road to the Royal Rumble, but WrestleMania's coming. Tickets on sale this Thursday, Friday, pre-sale, regular sale. Smaller private sales going on right now. Check out for tickets to WrestleMania 39 at SoFi Stadium. That's all we got tonight. Thank you all for listening. And as always, keep watching wrestling.
Fuck that cracker.